Man, good morning. Yeah, it's a blessing to be here. Appreciate the opportunity. What a joy it's been to be in the Lord's house. Appreciate the meals and the room and the wonderful fellowship last night. It was a blessing to be with you, your family, and to be here as well with you all. I want you to turn, if you would, to start in Psalms 40. Psalms 40, we're just going to be there for very briefly, and our text, or our outline, I guess, the message will come out of Psalms 30. So we're going to start in Psalms 40, 4-0, but then we'll be in Psalms 33-0 after that. I ask you to say a prayer for my voice. I've just completed 2 weeks in a row of church camp. And if you've been to 1 week of church camp, you know how hard that is. And so I've been doing 2 weeks now, and my voice is not in the best of shape. So I ask you to pray for me there, that the Lord would use me. But Psalms 40, written by King David. And let me say this. This may come out in the message. I don't know. But it's something I like to say. I said it in the Sunday school hour. But I want you to know that true joy comes in knowing and serving the Savior. True joy comes in knowing and serving the Savior. And that probably will come up again in the message. But Psalms 40, verse number 1, David said, I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me and heard my cry. He brought me up also out of the horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock and established my goings. I'm thankful that he didn't just save me and set me on solid ground. He pointed me in the direction he wanted me to go. Amen. And in verse number 3 of Psalms 40, this is what I want to look at as we get ready to go into Psalms 30 here. But David said, he set me out of the horrible pit, out of the miry clay, set my feet upon a rock and established my goings. He hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it. Fear, trust in the Lord. Now, we sing, and I love the congregational singing. I love how we did more than just one or two songs this morning. What a blessing that was. And I've noticed when people sing, you normally listen. You don't see much of a song. But David said people are going to see. People are going to see the song. He said, I used to sing the songs of the world. Now I sing the songs of God. I used to sing praises to man. Now I'm singing praises to the Lord. He said, he saved me and it's changed me. And people are going to notice the difference. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. Paul wrote, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. If your faith in Christ has not changed you, then your faith in Christ has not saved you this morning. There will be a change if you're saved. And David said people are going to see the change, and it's going to bring them to Jesus Christ. They'll see it and trust in the Lord. I want to preach this morning, title of the message, How to Sing People to Christ. How to Sing People to Christ. In India, our main Bible college, I have the privilege of putting a choir together with some of the students. For our graduation ceremony, we have sometimes 19 of the students, sometimes 29. 19 is a lot easier to work with than 29 people in a choir. But we'll get them together, and I'll teach them a song. They'll learn the English words, they'll learn the tune, they'll learn the timing, and they'll be singing it, and it sounds great. But they look terrible. They make me sick watching them. And it's like, do you believe what you're singing? Do you actually love the Lord? Are you actually going to live by faith? Do you actually have any joy in your salvation? Listen, I'm all for sharing the gospel. We ought to preach. How shall they hear unless they hear? How shall they hear without a preacher? How shall they preach unless they be sent? But listen, if our actions don't back up our words, they're not going to care to hear what we have to say. And we'll go around and we'll try to hand the gospel track out. And we'll go and we'll try to verbally witness to somebody, and they look at our lifestyle. They look how we're living our life. I'm not just talking about sin. I'm just talking about our attitude. The way we carry ourselves. Like, well, why would I want what you have? You don't seem any different than me. And so I would tell this choir in Indy each time we'd practice a song. And I told them each time, every time, day after day after day. And finally I said, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to turn this into a preaching outline. I'm going to preach it to you so you try to remember it better. And I was just making a joke. And the Lord said, why don't you do it? And so I did it. I want to preach that this morning. So I'm going to give you the 3 points at the beginning. Now don't get excited. Normally when the preacher gives a third point, you think he's done. But I'm giving it to you at the beginning, okay? Beginning. Here's what I tell them. Every single time we get ready to sing, I say, look up, look alive, and look happy. Look up. Look like. Now, I want you to take that look happy. Listen, I like to alliterate my outlines, okay? It helps me remember them. But then, listen, happy is based upon what your circumstances are. I want you to look happy. Really, what I mean by that, you can put this in parentheses if you're taking notes. Be joyful. Be joyful. Look up. Look alive. Look happy. Be joyful. And pray with me. I'll try to give you these thoughts. Father, we come to you. Lord, we're thankful for the time in your word. Lord, I pray as we open your word, you'd open our hearts and our minds to what you have for us. God, fill us with your Holy Spirit. Bless us with understanding. Keep us humble but confident before you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Look up. Look alive. Look happy. How can we sing people to Christ? Number one, look up. Look at your Psalms 30 now, if you would. We'll get our point, our text from this chapter now. Psalms 33:0. Verse number one, I will extol thee, O Lord. Thou hast lifted me up, and hast not made my foes to rejoice over me. He said, God has lifted me up. In the Psalms we read this morning, Psalms 24, in verse number 9, he said, lift up your heads, O ye gates. Lift up your heads. In Psalms 5, verse number 3, David praying during this time of Absalom's rebellion. And in verse number 3, he said, my voice shalt thou hear in the morning, O Lord. In the morning will I direct my prayer unto thee and will look up. Look up. What's your focus this morning? What are you looking to? The Bible says, lift up your heads and look, for your redemption draweth nigh. Hebrews 12, 1 and 2, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. I'm reminded of Peter in Matthew chapter 14, as he's walking on the water to go to Jesus, and they cry out for fear, and Jesus said, it's I, Lord, but you, bid me come unto you on the water. And is this Peter? Do I need to stay in front of the mic? And he said, bid me come to you on the water. And Jesus said, come. And Peter took that step out. And he started walking on the water, doing the impossible. Why? How? By faith. And he started walking out. The other disciples in the boat. Let me say this. I wonder how much farther Peter would have gotten if someone would have stepped out and joined him and encouraged him a little bit. Hebrews chapter 3, exhort one another while it's called today. Lest you be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin and unbelief. How much further would he got? But he's going. He's going fine. He's looking to the Lord. He's doing great. And suddenly, the Bible says, when he saw the wind boisterous or strong, he got his eyes off the Lord, started looking at the storm he was in, his circumstances. He became afraid, and he began to sink. He's focused on the Lord. Working out. Working out. In the book of Numbers, the children of Israel complained to God. They complained to Moses about God. And God sends judgment in the form of fiery serpents. And those serpents are going through the camp. And they're biting everybody. You get bit, you die. Listen, you get bit by the serpent, you die. We're living in a world of people being snake bit, amen? It happened since Genesis chapter 3. People getting snake bit. And the people begin to complain again. They cry for mercy. Moses go to God on their behalf, and God tells Moses to take that brass pole and lift it up with a brass serpent upon it, and they're told to look and live. As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up. Whosoever believeth on him shall have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth not is condemned already, but he that believeth is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already. John 3:15-18. Look and live. Look at the cross. Look towards Calvary. See that crimson flow and live. In the book of Genesis, Abraham is told to take Isaac and take him up on the mount and to sacrifice him before the Lord, his only son, his beloved son, Isaac. And Abraham takes Isaac up that mountain, leaves the two servants behind, and Isaac's walking up that hill. And he says, hey, Daddy, he said, I see the wood and I see the fire, but where's the lamb for the sacrifice? And I love what Abraham said. He said, God will provide himself. He did not say God will provide for himself. He said God will provide himself a lamb. That reminds me of John the Baptist in the Jordan River. One day he finished dunking someone, brought him up, and he looked, and he said, what? Behold, the Lamb of God. He provided himself. You remember when Abraham was about to slay Isaac, that angel of the Lord cried out and said, hey, Abraham, look up and see the substitute. Look up and see the sacrifice. There's a ram, not a lamb, but a ram caught in the thick. He was told to look up and see the substitute. See the sacrifice. When you look up, you see Jesus, amen. Psalms 121, verse number 1 says, I'll lift up my eyes to the hills, from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord, who made heaven and earth. In 2 Samuel chapter 5, verse 23 and 24, David finds himself fighting against the Philistines. Now, David doesn't like the Philistines, and the Philistines don't like David. They have a history with each other. The first time you see David come onto the scene in your pages of Scripture, he kills their champion Goliath. He goes down, and David's a winner. Suddenly, David goes through a time of being backslidden, and he goes, leaves Israel, joins the Philistines. And he's getting ready to go with the Philistines to fight against Israel. Listen, you're backslidden. Go against the people of God. You better not be siding with the world against God's people. And David wasn't trusted by all the Philistines, and he was told to stay back and not go to war with them. It's a good thing they said that. Because the Philistines went to fight Israel, and David stayed behind. He got right with God. And he goes back and ends up fighting with the Israelites against the Philistines. They don't like each other. They don't trust each other. And in 2 Samuel chapter 5, once again, David is fighting against the Philistines. And he's afraid. He's wondering. He's inquiring of God, what am I supposed to do? And the Lord comes to him in 2 Samuel 5, verse 23 and 24. And the Lord says, wait until you hear the rustling of the wind in the mulberry trees. Because when you hear the wind, you know that I've gone before you and I am with you. And the battle is yours. Hey, listen, if God's not going, don't go. God's not going, don't go. If he's not there, don't be going there. And if he is somewhere, you get to where he is. David had to sit and be patient. I'm not a patient man. I don't like to wait. I talk fast. Sometimes I drive fast. I got two different, like, fast driving awards before. And they're not fun. Those are some awards I just don't like getting. But I'm not patient. I mean, if I go to Wendy's, and listen, I love Wendy's. I mean, you can do McDonald's, but listen, when you have a choice between chicken nuggets with hook kind of breading and kind of breading, you choose the hook kind of breading, okay? It's the KJV of chicken nuggets is Wendy's, all right? And listen, if it takes more than 2 seconds to get us our meal, people can't tell if we're a Christian. Yeah. We get angry. We start complaining. We're not patient people. Listen, if David wasn't patient, he'd have died. If he had went ahead of God, he would have lost the battle. Psalms 46:10, be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted. Love it. Wait upon the Lord, Psalms 27 says. Wait upon the Lord. Jeremiah chapter 42, verse 7 of his book. The children of Israel are going, fleeing from Judah. They're heading towards Egypt, fleeing from King Nebuchadnezzar. And they ask Jeremiah, go to the Lord, ask him what he wants us to do, and whatever he says, we're going to do. Now listen, Jeremiah had been preaching for 30-some years. They hadn't listened to a word yet. In fact, they tried to kill Jeremiah multiple times because he was trying to give them the word of the Lord. And here they said, listen, Jeremiah, go to God, and we'll do what he says. Listen, God had already told them not to go to Egypt. He said, well, maybe you'll change my mind. Listen, if the book already has the answer, you don't need to pray about it. If the answer's in the manual, there's no need to pray about it. I remember hearing a story about a preacher. He was with a pilot. They were flying into his next meeting. And all of a sudden, the pilot looked over to the preacher and woke him up from his nap and said, listen, you better start praying. The landing gears aren't coming down. It's going to be a rough landing. And he said, you better pray, preacher. The preacher turned and said, well, where's the manual? Well, I don't know. It's back there somewhere. And that preacher, with some wisdom, got up and started going through all the junk in the back of that cockpit. And he found it manually. He found it, landing gears. And he learned, and he said, if the landing gears will not come down electronically, you start cranking this crank, this lever that's underneath the passenger seat. And he started cranking it. And finally, ka-chook, down came the landing gear. And it was a perfect landing. Listen, they could have prayed about it. Or they could have just looked in the manual and got the answers. And the answer was in the manual. All they had to do was look. Some things we just don't need to pray about. And we should pray. Some things the answer's already been given. But they tell Jeremiah, go and get the answer. And the Bible says in Jeremiah chapter 42, verse number 7, after 10 days, the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah. 10 days he had to wait to hear from God before a people that wanted to kill him. 10 days. And we get upset if we have to wait 10 minutes. Patience. Patience. David had to be patient. He sat there. It's quiet. Nothing's going on. Suddenly, David hears something. Shh. That wins going through the tree. He gets up and he knows the Lord's gone before him. He's with me. He goes and he wins that battle. Now, I've thought about it before. What was so significant about when going through the trees? What was the purpose of that? And then I started thinking about times when I enjoy going hunting. I don't care if it's deer, bear, or turkey, or squirrel. I like to go out in the woods, and I like to hunt, and I don't get to do it much anymore because of my traveling and things, but I enjoy doing it. And there's times I'll go out in the woods, and there's no deer coming along, but it's okay because the birds are singing. The squirrels are chattering in the treetops. The chipmunk you named Ralphie is playing in the hollow log next to you, and it's okay. You know what? There's some days the deer aren't moving, birds aren't singing, squirrels aren't chattering, Ralphie's nowhere to be found in the hollow log next to you. It's just quiet. It's quiet. And I hear something. Shh. You know those trees where the leaves die but they never fall off? Hey, you know what? It never fails. Every time I'm sitting in the woods and I hear the wind going through the trees, guess what I do? I look up. I get my eyes off of what's going on down here. Get him focused on somebody a little higher. And that's what God wanted David to do. He said, wait for the wind, because he knew you're sitting there and it's quiet. You hear the wind. Shoo. David looked up. Got his eyes off the battle down here. Got his eyes off his circumstances, off his problem in life at the time. And got him focused up on the Lord, high and lifted up, sitting on his throne. And his train filled the temple. And the glory of God, smoke filled the room. Look up. Says where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. I wonder if we'd open up your phone, if that's where we'd find your heart. I wonder if we'd open up your car, your bank account, if that's where we find your heart. I wonder if we open up the pages of the Bible or peel back the windows of heaven, where do we find your heart? Colossians 3 says, seek ye those things which are above, set your affections on things which are above. That's looking up. Number one, look up. Number two, look alive. Notice verse number two of Psalms 30. Psalms 30, verse number two. He said, O Lord, my God, I cried unto thee, and thou hast healed me. O Lord, thou hast brought up my soul from the grave. Thou hast kept me alive. I shall not go down to the pit. Sing unto the Lord, O ye saints of his, and give thanks at the remembrance of his holiness. The Bible teaches us that when you accept Jesus Christ as your Savior, you are passed from death unto life. You go from being spiritually dead to spiritually alive. You have the quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins, Ephesians 2:1. You're alive in Christ. Ephesians chapter 4 tells us to put off the old man and to put on the new. In Psalms 40, I said, David said he pulled him out of the miry pit of sin and set him upon a rock. And how many times he delivers us from that, but we jump right back into the pit. Or he takes off those old dead man's clothes and we put on the new. But then a little bit later, we take them off and put the grave clothes right back on again. We're alive, but we'll wear the clothes of a dead man. That confuses the world. It confuses some Christians. If you're alive, why are you wearing grave clothes? John chapter 11, if you want to turn there. John chapter 11, we have the familiar passage. Jesus said, I'm the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. Believest thou this? I like how he gave that question. Believest thou this? We have the shortest verse in the Bible. Jesus wept in John 11, 35. He wept because of their unbelief, by the way. They said, Lord, if you had been here, he wouldn't have died, but it's too hard for you to raise him. We don't believe that you can raise him from the dead. Maybe you could have healed him. And his Bible says he groaned within himself, and he wept because of their unbelief. Listen, your lack of faith disappoints the Savior. And so he tells him to roll the stone away. He goes to the tomb where Lazarus is, roll the stone away. Oh, Lord, he stinketh. He said, roll the stone away. And he prays, Lord, I'm glad that you're just going to bring glory to you. And in chapter 11, verse 43, he cries out, Lazarus, come forth. And he that was dead came out bound hand and foot, and napkin was still about his face. Now I can imagine everyone else there, can't you? They're standing behind Jesus. Jesus calls him by name. I bet a couple of them laugh a little bit. Did you hear what Jesus just said? He's not powerful enough to raise him from the dead. Who does he think he is? The Son of God? Amen. Yeah, that should get us excited a little bit, by the way. Hey, Lazarus came out. I command the AKK came walking out of that tomb. They start, well, is that Lazarus? He called him Lazarus. Is he alive? Is he really alive? Well, he's walking, but he looks dead. He lives. He's alive, but he looks like a dead man. He's still got the grave clothes on. And Jesus said, Lazarus, come forth. He said, I want you to come out from where the dead people are. He says, you don't belong in the tomb, Lazarus, because you're alive. Amen. Listen, church, there are some places where if you're alive in Christ, you just should not be. You just should not. There's places where the world goes, and we shouldn't be there. He said, come out from the dead, people. And then in verse 44, he said, loose him and let him go. He says, Lazarus, I want you to come out from the dead people. I want you to get out of the dead people's clothes. Let me just say this. There should be a difference in the way we look and the world looks. No, I'm not here to preach modesty principles at all. That's your job. That's the Holy Spirit's job, amen. It's the Holy Spirit's job. But listen, there should be a difference between the world looks and the church looks. We should be able to come into the church of God, the sanctuary, and find some relief, amen.
Amen.
Church house is almost as bad as Walmart. God says to come out and be ye separate. Live above reproach. Abstain from the appearances of evil. Be ye holy as I am holy, saith the Lord. Listen, holiness is still important. I'm not talking about legalism. We get those lines blurred today. We won't preach holiness anymore. Oh, that's legalism. No, there's a big difference between holiness and legalism. Legalism is having a form of holiness and having the wrong attitude about it. Holiness. Being different. Take off the grave clothes. Put on the new clothes. You're alive in Christ. Can the church, can the world tell? Do you have the light of the world living inside of you? Just by looking at you? Watching your attitude? David said, I got a new song. I got a new song. I used to think this way, now I think this way. I used to say these things, now I say these things. I used to act this way, now I'm acting. I don't struggle with anger anymore. I don't gossip anymore. I don't have problems with my thought life. I don't have trouble with this temptation. Why? Because I'm new. Off the grave clothes. I'm alive in Christ. You look alive. Look up. Look alive. And last, look happy or be joyful. Man, be joyful. Notice verse number 5 in Psalms 30. For his anger endureth but a moment. In his favor is life. Look alive. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. Notice verse number 10. Hear, O Lord, and have mercy upon me. Lord, be thou my helper. Thou hast turned for me my mourning into dancing. Thou hast put off my sackcloth and girded me with gladness. To the end, that my glory may sing praise to thee and not be silent. O Lord, my God, I will give thanks unto thee forever. His anger endureth but a moment. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. Morning into dancing. Sackcloth removed. Gladness. No. Be joyful. Be joyful. David said in Psalms 51, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. In Luke chapter 2, when the angels came to the shepherds, the glory of the Lord shone round about them. The angels said to the shepherd, be not afraid, I bring you good tidings of great joy. A Savior's been born. Nehemiah chapter 8, verse number 2 says, the joy of the Lord is your strength. Why do we have so many weak Christians today? Why is the church weak today? Why do we struggle with temptation and can't have victory over sin? Because we're weak. Why are we weak? Because we don't have any joy in the Lord. If we want stronger Christians, we need to have more joy in the Lord. It's your strength, the Bible says. Strength. The reason we're weak is we don't have any joy in our salvation. We don't have any joy in our Savior. Listen, true joy, I told you it was going to come up again. True joy comes in knowing and serving the Savior. If you don't have any joy, maybe you need saved. Maybe you need to step out, not just belong to Him, but serve Him also. Serve Him also. My favorite animal is probably the eagle. I enjoy the eagle. I like watching them. I like seeing them. Go to the zoo, see them there. I like them by chance every once in a while, maybe see one out in the wild. We can learn a lot about an eagle in our Christian life. Did you know an eagle can watch a grouse? It's like a small little prairie chicken. From a mile and a half away, blink its eye. They got eyes about this big, a grouse does, like a pheasant. You can watch from a mile and a half away, blink its eyes. An eagle can watch a rabbit from 2 miles away and chart its course to where it will catch it. The Bible says, be sober. Be vigilant because your adversary, the devil, is a roaring lion, walking about, seeking whom he may devour. Be aware of what's going on around you. Be aware. Watch from a distance. A An eagle can fly a straight course at 130 miles an hour, but they can dive at 180 miles an hour. Warning! You fall, you backslide, you're going a lot faster than it took you to grow moving forward. An eagle has built-in sunglasses. When it's attacked by an enemy, it will fly straight towards the sun. Those lenses will come down. The enemy will have to turn back because they can't stand the light. Do I need to explain that one? You get close to the Son of God, the enemy's going to leave you alone. They don't like the light. An eagle depends only 10% of the time on its own strength. 90% of the time it depends on the wind to keep it up in the air. Genesis chapter 8, verse number 1, God made a wind. They depend on the Lord to keep him flying, keep him soaring up high. Don't do it on your strength. You gotta go on his. Isaiah 40:31, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Sometimes you'll fly like an eagle. Sometimes you'll run. Sometimes you walk. But if you're waiting on God, you'll never stop. Notice the stages in that verse. Flying, running, and walking, but you'll never faint. You will never be weary. If you're waiting on God, that word wait means to bind together strands into a strong rope. Our willingness and humility with his might and power. All eagles, by the time they're 2 years old, they go through a moping period. That word moping means they get discouraged. They soften their shoulders. You know what? Hey, what happens is they start spending time on the ground. They stop doing what they're supposed to be doing. And they start liking it. They stop what they're supposed to be doing. They get discouraged. Now you can tell a moping eagle by a few characteristics. A moping eagle get calcium deposits about their beak. You show me a moping Christian, I'll show you someone that has a problem with their mouth. They're complaining. They're never praising God. They're always giving discouraging words instead of ministering grace unto the hearers like Ephesians 4 talks about. They got a problem with their mouth. Moping eagles, they'll get their feathers ruffled. Moping Christians are always getting offended over the smallest things, aren't they? I haven't seen you at church. Well, that person, they looked at me funny. They didn't shake my hand. Listen, they didn't even know you were there. Stop worrying about it, amen? You get offended way too easily. Moping eagles, their feet will crack and burst open and start to bleed. They got talons. They're made for catching, not made for walking. You show me a moping Christian, I'll show you someone that has a problem with their feet. They go places they shouldn't be. They don't go places they should. They're not taking Jesus to where he's supposed to go. Problem with their feet. Their eyes. Moping eagles' eyes will get crusty. Because when they're flying in the air, the wind creates tears and it cleans all that dirt out of their eyes. When they're moping, no tears. You show me a Christian that's moping, that's discouraged. They're not weeping over sin. They're not weeping over a sinner. They're beholding things they shouldn't behold. Not looking up. When moping eagles hang their heads, they hang their heads. Maybe you're from a distance. You can't get up close to see its feet or its beak or its eyes. But if you're at distance, you look and that eagle has its head down. If it's not looking up, it's moping. There's no joy. There's no joy if it's not looking up. Moping eagles won't eat. They'll starve. The milk and the meat of the word means nothing to them. Moping Christian, they may be in their Bible. They may read it, but they're not applying it to their life. I remember hearing a story about a man. He went to South Dakota to a national park. And he had an Indian guide, and they came up, and they were coming behind this bush, and he was told to be very quiet. They come up along that bush there, and they peer around, and on the ground in front of them, there's five moping eagles. Feathers ruffled, eyes crusty, calcium deposits about feet half burst open. They're hanging their heads. They're discouraged. And he watched them there. You know, the thought probably entered his head. Are those really eagles? Those look like eagles that I've ever seen. He says, they watched those eagles. He said, all of a sudden, he heard this loud clamor, all this noise, and all these eagles came flying around the cliff, and they started dropping meat down to those moping eagles. They went off again. A little bit later, around the cliff, they come again. They're dropping those meat. You know what they're doing? They're encouraging them. They were telling them in eagle talk, look up, look alive, and look happy. Start doing what you're supposed to be doing. Eat the meat. Get up and go. The next day, that man went back to the same bush, same spot, peered around it, and on the ground lay three dead eagles. Two of them decided to eat the meat. Two of them decided to take the word. Two of them decided to look up, look alive, and look happy. Three of them died moping. They died in Moab, like Elimelech did. Died moping. I don't want to die moping. I can imagine as that man looked at those three moping eagles, maybe looked up into that sky. Hey, there's something over there in the air. That's an eagle. They're soaring the way they're supposed to be. Looking up, it's looking alive. It's joyful. I'm not quite sure what those are. Not quite sure. Say, well, Brother Zane, you know, our finances. Brother Zane, our job. Brother Zane, our ministry, this and that. No. Look up. Look alive. Look happy. I went through the hardest months of my life from February 17th to April 24th this year, and I'm not going to tell you this story to make you feel all sorry for me and pat me on the back. I'm not trying to pucker out my bottom lip and I'll have a pity party. I'm just trying to tell you, listen, this works. This works. On February 17th, within a span of 6 hours, my grandmother fell and broke her hip, an aunt passed away, a friend was stabbed, and things got so dangerous where we were at our Bible college, I was sleeping with two doors locked and a knife by my bed. Halfway across the world. That went on until basically I got back at the end of March. I went to India mid-April, and while I was there, that same grandmother, I broke her hip and ended up passing away. I'm halfway across the world. That was tough. That was difficult. But I tell you what, in our weakness, His strength is made perfect. His grace is sufficient. And I remember there were times at night during those 2 months, I'd go and I'd be laying in bed, I'd be crying myself to sleep, and I'd be asking God, Lord, what's going on? Why'd all this happen? The sweet Holy Ghost spoke to my heart. He said, son, you know that message you preach out of Psalms 30 that you've preached in a church here and here and here and here and all over the eastern half of the United States? You know that message, look up, look alive, and look happy, be joyful. He said, I need you to start doing that now. I need you to do it. Listen, church, I don't know what you're going through. Some of you have been through a lot more than I have. It's just my story. Church, I can tell you, look up, look alive, look happy. It's worth it. It's worth it. It's worth it. I wonder which eagle are you this morning? Are you one that needs to fly around the cliff and drop some meat? Maybe you're one that needs to take the word and get up and start doing what you're supposed to be doing. Or are you going to die moping? Look up. Look alive. And look happy. Why? Because many shall see it, fear, and trust in the Lord. That makes it all worthwhile. Someone sees you looking up and looking alive and being joyful. They trust the Lord. Praise God. You've sang someone to Christ. Amen. Preach away.